It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 144 of Radio TCX, your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy. I'm Tim Dugan, and Carson Ray was unable to be on the podcast this week. He was a little too busy, but we brought in a guest host. You guys, if you've been listening for a while, you'll be familiar with John McDermid. John, thanks for coming in the show today.
Pleasure to be back, Tim.
Today we're going to focus on something exciting, something new coming out here in the future. We're expecting the release of two new factions for X-Wing. The First Order conversion kit and the Resistance conversion kits are expected to be out any day now. So today we decided to do a little bit of a preview of what we're excited for in the First Order conversion kit and what that means for X-Wing in the future. So let's get into it. All right, John, so when I asked you to come on the show, I was hoping to talk about a topic that interested you right away. And so the first thing you came up with was you wanted to talk about the First Order. So what is getting you excited for this upcoming release?
Sure. So one of the things that I was most excited about the First Order is all of the options it's coming with. So we are getting an extensive list of things in the conversion kit. We're getting a ton of new pilots for the TIE First Order version. We're getting some pilots that were pretty popular in first edition, so we're seeing the return of Kylo Ren in the TIE Silencer, Quick Draw in the TIE Special Forces, and some interesting new upgrades that'll make those ships very interesting to put on the table.
Yeah, for anyone who's played first edition, a lot of these abilities will seem very familiar, though there's been some distinct changes, obviously mechanical stuff that got updated in second edition, but also some pilot abilities that almost seem like they're identical to their first edition counterparts, but a little bit different. I think it is interesting to note that with both the First Order and the Resistance, we know the new hyperspace format is going to be coming out here in the near future. We already have what's going to be allowed in that much more limited format. And basically, almost everything from these new expansions is going to be available in that hyperspace format, whereas, you know, the Rebel Alliance, the Empire, and Scum and Villainy have a pretty limited list coming from extended into hyperspace. So most of what we're going to talk about today is going to be relevant in at least the hyperspace format, and now that these factions are introduced into X-Wing 2nd Edition, we'll hopefully see more releases for these factions, new ships that we didn't even see in 1st Edition. So, you know, let's dive into it here. We're going to focus on the four ships that are in the First Order from the launch. This includes the TIE Silencer, Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter, the TIE FO, the TIE SF, and the Upsilon class shuttle. So not a huge list to talk about here, but you've got some pretty diverse stuff going on here.
Yeah, one of the most notable things is the extensive list of named pilot options for the TIE FO. We have a lot more options than we did in first edition with some really cool abilities.
Yeah, and that was a nice parallel. We can actually start with the TIE FO because this seems kind of like the baseline for this faction, whereas you see over in the Empire, the TIE LN, the classic TIE fighter, seems to be their base there. And they also have a huge number of pilots, a lot of named pilots with different abilities. The TIE FO in the First Order is very similar to that. We see a kind of a chassis boost. It looks very similar to how it looked in First Edition. It's got the two attack dice, three agility, three hull, and one shield. So it's got that shield value over a classic TIE fighter over on the Empire. And now you've also got the target lock action, the tech slot, and a slightly better dial over the TIE Fighter. I like to make this comparison, actually, to the TIE LN, just because in first edition, the TIE FO and the TIE LN existed in the same faction, so they kind of blurred the lines there of why you would take one over the other. I kind of felt like in first edition, generally the TIE LN won out on value just for what you were getting, even though it was, you know, a slightly weaker chassis. The cost just made sense, right?
Yeah, and the thing about the TIE FO in first edition is you weren't really trying to get that many of them on the table. Mm-hmm. You were just maybe getting one or two for their abilities, whereas with the TIE LN fighter, if you're going to fly them, you're going to fly multiple of them for a swarm tactic kind of feel on the table. And that's where some of these new pilot abilities seem really cool with the TIE FO.
Yeah, at a glance, I feel like the TIE FO does offer a nice option here. You can kind of still run those mini swarms. They're not exorbitantly more expensive than the TIE LN is over in the Empire faction. So, you know, it's about, what, I think generally 5 points higher or so for each of the initiative matchups. So the initiative one is 5 points more than the initiative one over in the Empire. You do see some point hikes there, though, when you get into the higher initiatives, which I think we'll talk about how important initiative is in X-Wing 2nd Edition right now. But I think there is a pretty decent, there's a nice gain to be had by just getting that extra shield, that target lock action, and that tech slot. TIE Fighters, obviously, in the Empire have a pretty limited amount of options offensively. They usually depend on things like Juke there to get their offensive modification. Here you have a little bit longer play where you can, you know, if you have a turn where you're not going to get shot at, you can take that target lock action to set up a more effective shot later. Obviously, that's still on a 2-attack dice ship. But in second edition so far, I found that 2-attack dice shots are way better than they were in first edition, where there's a lot higher chance that those ships are going to hit other ships, if only by virtue that you don't see a lot of those defensive tokens being stacked on opposing ships.
Yeah, and that's definitely a good point. They do have longer play options, but I feel like in general, too, the TIE FO just has more options than the TIE LN fighter. Mm.
And a big part of that is actually, I think, the tech slot. That's, it looks like so far an upgrade slot that's only available to the Resistance and the First Order. So you get a unique selection of upgrade cards, which I think is going to help those factions maintain their identity. But a lot of the platforms here, actually all the platforms on the First Order side have access to that tech slot. And you've got, you know, four options here, but they do provide some interesting effects. We've got Advanced Optics, which looks very different than what it was in First Edition, where it lets you hold onto a focus token. Here it looks more like that old weapon guidance card from first edition. Advanced Optics in second is a 4-point upgrade currently. While you perform an attack, you may spend a focus token to change one of your blank results into a hit result.
And then you have some cards returning into second edition that have very familiar and similar abilities to their first edition counterparts, like Targeting Synchronizer and Primed Thrusters. So Targeting Synchronizer says, while a friendly ship at range 1 to 2 performs an attack against a target you have locked, that ship ignores the lock attack requirement. Pretty sure that's the exact same text that was in first edition. And then Prime Thrusters, while you have 2 or fewer stress tokens, you can perform barrel rolls and boost actions even while stressed.
Yeah, and I think having the target lock on these with the tech slot gives you an interesting position where you could have a cheaper TIE FO loaded out with that targeting synchronizer, use that ship to get the lock because you're not necessarily, you depending on the ship to do damage, and then have other ships with ordnance set up where they can get other kinds of modification or not have to spend target locks, things like that. And use the ship as more of a setup platform. So you got a lot of versatility here. You can use these FOs as ways to deal damage, or you can use them to support the rest of your squad, even if that squad is comprised of other ships. I do like Pattern Analyzer, too. That's a 5-point upgrade. While you fully execute a red maneuver, before the check difficulty step, you may perform 1 action. So very similar to what it did in first edition, but that ability was crazy powerful. I remember back in first edition running that on Quick Draw. I loved being able to do those S-loops and flip around maneuvers and still get that action modification. It seemed a little bit better then when you could retain a token using the old first edition Advanced Optics. But this is still a very powerful effect because it lets you keep your ships in the game and get that defensive modification on your more vulnerable turns.
There's also the First Order specific tech slot cards, like Hyperspace Tracking Data, which says set up before placing forces, you may choose a number between 0 and 6. Treat your initiative as the chosen value during setup. And then after setup, assign 1 focus or evade token to each friendly ship at range 0 to 2, which would pair really well with that Advanced Optics tech on your TIE FOs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like Advanced Optics too, actually. I didn't like it so much in first edition when it was weapons guidance. It had the same effect. It was just not a great use of that slot. This is interesting because it's pretty inexpensive, and it gives you the option to basically get guaranteed attack modification with a focus token. So you're going to make sure that you get at least 1 hit. Oftentimes, it's going to help you raise that ratio of getting 2 hits, where if I roll a hit and a blank, I can change the blank to a hit. If I roll double focus, I can change them both to hits. You have options there to spend your focus. Now, whether or not that's going to be worth the points on your little TIE FO, I would probably not invest too heavily in these unless you're going for one of those higher initiative ones like Midnight.
Yeah, so Midnight's a returning pilot from first edition. In first edition, she was known as Omega Leader, and in second edition, she is similar. However, her ability has changed a little bit. So her ability now reads, while you defend or perform an attack, if you have a lock on the enemy ship, that ship's dice cannot be modified.
Yeah, so this is a difference that we see from the, you know, previous iteration, basically the same ship back. Now, it is at the highest initiative now, which back when it was Omega Leader, that was only an initiative 8 back in old X-Wing speak. But now it's at the top end, so that is a little bit of a boost for it because it's up there. We know initiative is really important in this game right now, so having initiative 6 means you generally care maybe a little bit less about the bid when you're dealing with a bunch of initiative 5 ships out there, though this ship isn't. I mean, it's not, you can't do the same thing with it that you did in first edition. So back in first edition, the ship with the same ability, you would often run with that Juke card, the Juke talent, which lets you, when you have an evade token, you can change one of your opponent's hit results into a focus result. That was a really good combo back in first edition because your opponent then was not able to modify those dice results, because back then this ability just limited them from modifying their own dice, not other people modifying their dice. Now that last line, that ship's dice cannot be modified, means neither player can modify those dice. So yes, technically you could put Juke on Midnight, but it wouldn't get you really any benefit, because if you're locking a ship, you wouldn't be able to use that Juke effect to modify their dice.
And it would also take just a little bit more setup now in second edition, because we're not seeing the return of Comm Relay, which would allow you to hold on to an evade token if you didn't spend it, which is a very popular staple upgrade for Omega Leader.
Now, this ship is pretty inexpensive for an initiative 6. We're looking at only 44 points there, so that's not even a quarter of your list. John, do you see yourself running this ship in your first order squads, or do you think it's still too expensive?
I was a pretty big fan of Omega Leader in first edition, so I think just for that kind of nostalgic factor, I would fly Midnight. I would maybe just try and have a couple different fun builds with her, maybe something like Swarm Tactics on her to pull another ship up to initiative 6, or even throw something on there like Afterburners to make her super fast since she's going to move last against those initiative 4s and 5s you see out there. So yeah, I'd give her a shot. I don't know if she's necessarily like top table level competitive, but fun for sure.
And something you pointed out to me before we started recording this show, I thought it was interesting seeing the point trend on these TIE FOs. So you see a pretty consistent rate at the points increasing. If you look from the lowest initiative pilots up, there seems to be pretty even spacing between those points. You know, you go from 28-ish to 31 to, you know, 33 until you get up to those top two pilots. So Midnight, obviously the most expensive at 44, right below that Commander Malaris. Both of those see a pretty substantial point hike between them and the next lowest initiative pilot, Scorch. And I think a lot of that has to do with that initiative value, because, you know, Scorch has got initiative 4, Malaris and Midnight have 5 and 6, respectively. And that initiative is so important in the game right now, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's, you know, a lot of initiative 5 out there right now in what we're seeing, but with the release of more stuff, you're going to see Rey at 5, Poe at 6, and in the hyperspace legal tournaments, you're going to see a much more selective list of ships at 5 and 6 as well. So it definitely feels like you're paying more for the initiative here than you are for the ability. I mean, we looked at Midnight and her ability is definitely not as good anymore. So it's a little interesting to see how you jump from Scorch at 35 points to Midnight at 44. I mean, that's a 9-point jump for what seems like just an initiative bid.
And the abilities here are pretty strong, but I don't know if they alone justify that point hike. I think you're really paying that extra point value just for those high initiative values, because those are really important right now. I would mention, I think another strong pilot actually is Commander Malaris, not just because we've got an initiative 5 value there, but it's got a really cool built-in ability. The ship has 2 charges. They don't recur, so they're not going to come back. But the pilot ability for Commander Malaris reads, at the start of the engagement phase, you may spend 1 charge and gain 1 stress token. If you do, until the end of the round, while you defend or perform an attack, you may change all of your focus results to evade or hit results.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's built-in Glitter Stim from first edition, and now you can do it twice.
Yeah, and that can be absolutely clutch. You know, this ship at a high initiative could be a reasonable threat even with just 2 attack dice. And having that option there, if you're going to get focused down, you know a bunch of shots are coming at you. You have a start of engagement phase activation where you can choose to basically you get defensive modifications on every shot, which is hugely important because it's modifying all your dice on every shot that you get shot at and on your return shot. So even if you don't get the focus action you need, or if you want to get a really strong hit and you just use a target lock and then depend on this ability to get your offensive modification, seems like a pretty good combo for 41 points.
And it's pretty good in those clutch turns where you might need to do a barrel roll to get out of an arc, and then you still have that mod for offense and defense.
There are a lot of other strong pilots here in the FO camp. I do like a long shot there. That's initiative 3, 33 points, and basically pretty straightforward ability. When you're attacking at range 3, you get to roll an additional attack die. Seems like a pretty effective way for 33 points to get 3 attack dice on the board. Obviously, your opponent will still get that range bonus defense die, but generally getting more attack dice is better than your opponent getting more defense dice if you're getting them at the same time, because an attack die is more likely to roll a hit than a defense die is to roll an evade.
Yeah, and at 33 points, that's a nice price. If you're just looking to fill a gap in your list and want to have something fun or cool, you could throw a long shot in there with even trick shot as a pilot talent. Get that four dice attack at range three.
And a lot of the other named pilots for the FO haven't really caught my attention too much, though there is one that has been creating kind of a buzz, I think, in the X-Wing community about some, you know, potentially close to broken mechanics, right?
Yeah, so we've got the Initiative Zero named pilot Null, which reads, while you are not damaged, treat your initiative value as 7. And that pilot has the pilot talent slot.
So if this ship didn't have the talent slot, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. A 2 attack dice ship shooting at initiative 7 until it gets damaged doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Of course, damage means you have to have an assigned damage card, so even if Null loses its shield, it's still not damaged until it receives a card. Why is that talent slot make it that much better?
So the problem here with Null that people are talking about in the chats and stuff is the fact that it can take squad leader, which gives you the red coordinate action. And then you can have biohexacrypt codes in that tech slot, which basically allows Null to target lock friendly ships. And he can spend that target lock to perform a coordinate, ignoring range restrictions.
Right. So you can set this up on turn one, fly basically anywhere on the board, and then you're able to send out that coordinate action to a ship at a clutch moment, and you don't even have to have Null anywhere near the fight. So your opponent might not have it really an option to take out this strategy.
And sure, it may only work, you know, once or twice in a game, but that's really all you need for that ability to be pretty good. And Null's coming in at 31 points base, so with those upgrades, it's still not a very expensive ship, so I can see why people are a little worried about this combo, but I guess we're going to have to see it on the table before we can really make a good judgment on it.
All right, so we've talked a lot about the FO. Let's jump over to the other TIE fighter that we see here. The other looks very similar, different paint scheme and some pretty different mechanics, the TIE SF for Special Forces.
I am beyond excited to have Quick Draw back in X-Wing 2nd Edition. She was one of my favorite pilots in 1st Edition, and I think she's really going to stand out in this faction with her ability, which remains basically the same as it was in 1st Edition. She has one reoccurring charge now, and her ability reads, after you lose a shield, you may spend one charge. If you do, you may perform a bonus primary attack.
So functionally, this ability still works the same way. We see the platform in general looks mostly the same. They kind of updated the mechanics so that you don't depend on a title card anymore for the cool multi-arc, multi-shot shenanigans that the TIE SFs like to do. The platform still has 3 hull and 3 shields and 2 agility die. Obviously, we don't have the lightweight frame anymore to up that agility in certain circumstances. But, you know, it's a pretty inexpensive ship. Quick Draw, which is the top pilot here, only is 45 points. I did think it was pretty cool. They've done a couple cool things updating this ship for 2nd edition. It's got a forward primary firing arc of 2, and then it's got a mobile firing arc of 2, but that coincides with its ship ability. So all the TIE SFs have the ship ability. Heavy weapon turret. You can rotate your mobile firing arc indicator only to your forward or rear firing arcs. You must treat the forward firing arc requirement of your equipped missile upgrades as mobile firing arc. So basically what this means is you can only use your mobile firing arc out the front or out the back. You might be wondering why would I want to use the mobile firing arc out the front if I already have a primary weapon value of 2? Well, there's a cool gunner card called Special Forces Gunner, which basically does the same thing that the Special Ops title did back in 1st edition. If you have that mobile firing arc set to the front position, you get to roll an extra attack die when you perform a primary weapon attack out the front. If you have that set to the back position, after you perform a forward firing arc attack, you can then perform a bonus attack out that rear firing arc. So it's not quite as simple. It's a little harder to set up, maybe, but you actually have a lot of rotate action options here, thanks to the updated action bar.
Yeah, it's really cool. So the TIE SF still has the focus, evade, target lock, and barrel roll actions. They are all white, and they are all linked to a white rotate.
Yeah, so whether or not you want to use any of those actions, you can pretty much rotate any turn, anytime you move and take an action, which gives you some cool options. The dial's actually a little bit better on the TIE SF now. You've got 3 hard turns that are white. They also have a 5 straight white now, too, so not only are these ships generally a little bit cheaper than they were in 1st edition, they're actually a little bit faster, which I think more than compensates for those points you're going to be dumping into them to get that Special Forces Gunner card. And I mean, looking at the four ships we have for this faction, I think the TIE-SF to me is really the standout. Not just quick draw, I just think that platform in general seems pretty strong.
It seems really good that we have this option that will allow people to shoot missiles out their back arcs, which is a really interesting ability.
Yeah, so I mean, for a long time back in first, we didn't really see that ability come up until the launch of the Ghost, where you could actually use your rear firing arc to shoot torpedoes, even if you didn't have that old Ghost title equipped. Which was actually a really cool option. I liked having that versatility. And at least for when you started using this before people were familiar with the ship, it would always catch people off guard where they're like, oh, I could survive, you know, a shot from the rear arc on this little TIE fighter. Well, they didn't know a missile was incoming or a cluster missile or something. No proton rockets, though, sadly, because I don't think there's going to be a bullseye firing arc on that rear firing arc.
Right. But it's good for those turns where you maybe overestimate how fast your opponent's going to go, and all of a sudden your opponent is behind you and you still have them locked and you can still shoot them with a missile. Seems pretty fun.
Right, or even take that log action and then get that free white rotate.
We're also seeing the return of another first edition pilot, Backdraft. Comes in at initiative 4, so a little bit lower than quick draw. And the ability now reads, while you perform a turret primary attack, if the defender is in your rear arc, roll one additional dice.
So this is actually not quite as good as old Backdraft, where you could just get to add that crit result out the rear firing arc when you use it back in first edition. Obviously, adding a result, we've said this so many times on the podcast, adding a result is way better than converting a result or rolling an extra die. But that's still a pretty strong ability because this ship's highly mobile now. You see that better dial over the first edition version. And you're going to be able to put yourself in positions where you can focus on, you know, barrel rolling to get out of position and then still be able to deal a decent amount of damage out that rear firing arc.
And at 4 points cheaper than Quick Draw 2, it's got the same options for upgrades. Sure, you may not have an initiative 6 pilot or that lose a shield, do a bonus attack ability, but it could be good in certain lists.
Yeah, I think the real winner here is Quick Draw. I think if you're going the Backdraft route, you're probably already running Quick Draw on your list, which was actually pretty common back in first edition. We'd see the combination of the two, but you'd seldom see a Backdraft without a Quick Draw. And I really think that the two named pilots you see here in the TIE-SF are probably your go-to options over the generics. I think the platform as a whole, though, having access to that sensor slot, you can throw either a fire control system on there so you don't have to spend your target locks, which works great either with primary attacks or with using those missiles. Or you can throw advanced sensors on there to enable them to perform actions and then perform those awesome sloop turnaround maneuvers. Overall, I think a pretty strong platform. I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, definitely. Quick Draw is going to be one of the first things I put on a table when I get my First Order conversion kit.
Now we're going to move on to a ship in the First Order that maybe disappoints me a little bit, especially after seeing what it could do in First Edition. The TIE Silencer is back, and so is Kylo Ren. Kylo's now got a Force rating of 2, which has got some inherent value. We've talked about Force on the podcast before. Really strong. Kylo comes in pretty expensive, though, in that TIE Silencer. Coming out at 82 points base, and that's before you throw any upgrades on there. The Silencer platform actually looks pretty similar to what it did in first edition, a forward firing arc value of 3, 3 agility, 4 hull, and 2 shield. Kylo obviously has that Force rating, and it has access to the focus, target lock, boost, and barrel roll action. So a TIE fighter, another TIE fighter without any evade.
And now his pilot ability is reworked to incorporate that Force charge mechanic. So now Kylo's ability reads, after you defend, you may spend one Force charge to assign the I'll show you the dark side condition to the attacker. So we are seeing the return of that condition card in second edition.
And it functions basically the same, where you get to choose a damage card out of your opponent's deck, put it on that condition, and then the next time that ship with that condition is dealt critical damage, they'll receive that damage card even under shields.
And I think that feels a little better now. Obviously, it's not great to have a crit chosen for you, but we don't have cards like Damaged Cockpit and Blinded Pilot, at least that work the same way like they did in first edition.
Yeah, so it's a little less devastating, and there's a higher cost here where you have to have that Force charge with Kylo in order to assign this card. It's not just you do it every time you can get attacked. I'm not super excited for the TIE Silencer. Yeah, it's got that ship ability, the same one as the TIE Interceptor over on the Empire side. Auto thrusters, after you perform an action, you may perform a red barrel roll or a red boost action. That's cool action economy, but I think the real value we saw in first edition from the TIE Silencer was its synergy with advanced sensors and push the limit, which is, you know, a known quantity back in that game where you could use advanced sensors to perform an action before you moved, use that action to push the limit into another action and receive a stress, and then perform a blue maneuver, relieve that stress, and have double actions without any real cost to it. That was a killer combo and lets you get a focused and target lock pretty reliably.
And the other thing that worked really well with that combo on Kylo Ren was in first edition, he was on initiative 9. In second edition, he's only in initiative 5. So if you wanted to get him up to a higher initiative, you'd have to take heightened perception, and that really only helps you when you're shooting, not when you're moving.
Right, which is really where the value was for having that higher initiative. Still, initiative 5 is pretty strong in the game right now, but it just means you're going to have to take a pretty healthy bid there. Kylo Ren is still pretty expensive, 82 points base there. That's a pretty high cost. Though I think the, you know, TIE silencers overall are pretty expensive. The next one down, Blackout, comes in at a base of 70. So, you know, we're up in TIE Defender range for points here, or getting close to it.
We also see a slight change to their upgrade bar, though. The TIE silencer can now equip both the torpedo and the missile slot,
which is strong. It's also got a tech slot, and, you know, obviously Kylo's got the Force talent. Blackout's got the regular talent slot. I think the problem with having those ordnance slots is you're already having a very expensive ship there, so you have to have a really good reason to bring ordnance there if you're going to invest a bunch more points into these already expensive ships.
And looking at the TIE silencer as far as points go and upgrades, honestly, I like Blackout's ability more than I like Kylo's ability.
Mm-hmm.
So Blackout's ability, important to note that he's also an initiative 5. While you perform an attack, if the attack is obstructed by an obstacle, the defender rolls 2 fewer defense dice, which when paired with a pilot talent card like Trick Shot would make some really nasty shots coming from Blackout.
Yeah, we're already seeing similar things going on with like Dash Rendar over on the Rebel side. That obviously won't be in the hyperspace format, whereas this combo will be. But yeah, being able to use that Trick Shot where your obstructed attacks roll you an extra die and then reduce your opponent's agility by 2 dice, so you're even negating their obstruction bonus, that's really strong. You're going to be able to hit really hard. It takes a little bit of setup there. And it's really unfortunate that these ships have lost their sensor slot, because it was really nice to have that advanced sensors option back in the day where you could put the ship in a precarious situation in front of a rock to get the bonus and then preemptively barrel roll before you did your normal maneuver. You have to be a little bit more careful here because this is just a forward firing arc ship, so setting up those shots will actually be pretty tricky, but I think when you do, you'll get a pretty huge payoff.
I feel like in general, Blackout and Kylo are going to promote really high-level ace play. With definitely, like you said, with those setups for Blackout's ability and making sure that Kylo's not in a really dangerous spot to trigger his ability and things like that. You're really going to have to fly him really carefully and well if you want them to work.
But I think that was true in first edition too, because these were ships that didn't have the ability to regenerate shields. And back in first edition, shield regenerating was a huge part of the game. Those players who were running Kylo successfully back in the day really did depend on that skill of making sure they could outposition their opponent, because that damage was going to stick as soon as it landed on these guys. So I really do like seeing them both at initiative 5. I think that's a cool thing we're seeing more and more in second edition, where there's not always this kind of like spread out array of pilot skills on one platform. We're seeing a lot more overlapping pilot skills. Part of this is design, and part of this is just the more narrow selection of pilot skills, 1 to 6 instead of 1 to 9. But I like to see that. It feels like you're more making a choice there where you're like, well, I want to take an initiative 5 silencer, but I don't want to invest all those points to get the Force and you get Kylo Ren. I prefer the little more aggressive ability from Blackout. Well, I'll go that route and save me the 12 points.
As far as options for the TIE silencer go, Kylo and Blackout are definitely, I think, the standouts. We've got a couple generics and a few other named ones actually too, but for the initiative and for the abilities, I think Kylo and Blackout are really what the standout for this ship chassis are.
All right, so to close out our discussion, we're going to talk about the ship that I am probably the least interested in, which means almost most definitely it's going to be the ship that surprises me the most when I have to play against it.
Yeah, so we're seeing the return of the Upsilon-class shuttle. It remained very similar that it did in first edition. It has a primary attack value of 4, 1 agility, 6 hull, and 6 shields. And they all have the ship ability Linked Battery. While you perform a cannon attack, roll 1 additional die.
And this ship has a pretty nuts selection of actions. It's got focus, it's got target lock, it's got reinforce, coordinate, and jam, and all of those are white. And it looks like this ship is going to fill a very similar role to what it did back in first edition. It's kind of the first order parallel to the Lambda-class shuttle. Though even back when these ships coexisted in the same faction in first edition, they kind of both had pretty distinct identities. I mean, honestly, any ship that has 4 attack dice and a very large forward firing arc is probably going to stand out and be able to do some damage. But we see the selection of named pilots here have a lot of really strong support abilities for your faction.
One of the other things that makes this ship particularly interesting, in my opinion anyway, is that regardless of cost or initiative value, all of the pilots for the Ypsilon class shuttle have the same upgrade options. So they have a system slot, two tech slots, a cannon slot, three crew slots, and a mod slot. And what makes that particularly interesting is that none of them have the pilot talent slot.
Yeah, but even without that talent slot, you still got an insane number of options. And I think that's really where the strength of these ships is going to come from, because, you know, we can't even think of all the possible permutations of upgrade cards that you could put on here. I think when someone starts to crack the code about, like, what's the combo I can put on here for these, you know, relatively inexpensive ships. These ships come in at, you know, at the lowest, the Starkiller base pilot is just 56 points, which is really not that expensive for the amount of hit points you're getting and for that attack value. It doesn't have the best die in the world, but it's got white hard turns and a dead stop maneuver, so I think that's good enough to get that four attack dice working for you a couple turns in a row.
Yeah, the point cost jump from the Initiative 2 generic Star Killer base pilot to the named Captain Cardinal at Initiative 4 is only 8 points, so it's a much tighter range of costs than we saw in the TIE FO fighter.
And we see some returning pilot abilities here. Major Strident coming in at Initiative 4 for 63 points. While you coordinate or resolve the effect of one of your upgrades, you may treat friendly ships at range 2 to 3 as being at range 0 or range 1. And I think you can't discount the effectiveness of coordinate at range 3. Normally it's got that restriction of just up to range 2, but not only having a ship with a white coordinate, one that can reach out even further than most ships can. Coordinate is one of those mechanics in X-Wing that is pretty much good in every list, just because actions are so vital to having efficiency in your lists.
It's also got a really interesting interaction with the crew General Hux. While you perform a white coordinate action, you may treat it as red, and if you do, you may coordinate to up to two additional ships of the same ship type, and each ship you coordinated must perform the same action, treating that action as red. So you could coordinate, while it might be red, you could coordinate a focus to three TIE FO fighters.
Right, and then you can go full defense there, focus and evade, or you can go full offense, focus and target lock. And you're not, you know, paying a crazy amount of points to get that value. You do have some other abilities that I think stand alone a little bit better. Initiative 3, Lieutenant Tavson. After you suffer damage, you may spend a charge to perform an action. And this ship has two charges, and they're recurring. So twice in a round, you could get shot at, perform a couple actions, and then set up a really effective target lock focus shot, or maybe send out a coordinate to one of your fellow ships to help them get a stronger shot.
I feel like in general with the Ypsilon class shuttle, and I'm happy to be wrong here, but I feel like it's going to fill a good spot in a list that has multiple generics of, let's say, a TIE FO or the TIE SF. It might not necessarily work or vibe as well with some of the named pilots, because I feel like you want more ships to get the most out of the synergy with the options from this chassis.
Yeah, it definitely seems like something you'll combo in maybe a TIE Swarm list where you want to just not go completely TIE Fighters. You'll throw that in there to give you those support abilities so you can really stack up those actions.
I think one of the examples in the preview articles was Major Strident with three TIE FOs, for example.
All right, so that's our look, a quick preview of the First Order here. Obviously, opinions are going to change over the next several weeks once we hopefully see this expansion release and we start to see these ships more on the table. Anytime you can get ships on the table, that changes your perspective. You start to find things out. But hopefully you got a good idea of what's coming in this faction. We talked about the ships we're excited for. We'd love to hear the ships you're excited for. So please throw us a comment on Facebook or on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. John, thank you so much for coming on the show today and filling in for Carson.
Yeah, no problem, Tim. Thanks for having me back.
And thank you all for listening. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx and like our Facebook page. You can also go on to Twitter and follow us at Radio TCX Podcast. If you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening. And if you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a patron of the show today. Hopefully Carson will be back next week to talk some more X-Wing. So until then, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.